Praise God. Sister Diana, are you there?
I am here. Hi, John.
How's it going? You doing good?
I was listening there for a while, and it's like, whoo! Oh, my. Oh, my.
Well, you know, I only had one little bitty kind of weak cup of coffee back at 5 o'clock. So this is just excitement energy. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right,
you've got me tired out already.
Good. Okay. That's, you know, if you're not drinking from five fire hoses, you have not found your way to Tribulation Dash Now. It's a fake.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for inviting me back. Very happy to be here tonight.
Amen. Praise God. And I will grab my virtual folding chair and let you take the mic from here. Praise Jesus.
Okay. All right. All right. I would like to ask the Lord's hand to be over what's presented here first. So, Father, we want to praise you and thank you for this opportunity to come together with your people all over the earth, Lord. And I ask you to open my mouth to speak only as you lead, and that you minister this message to all who will hear, whether now or in the future, Lord. And may our hearts be pierced with what you're saying to the church in this late hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, John, there's so much going on around us that could make our heads spin if we're not careful. But if you remember the last time I was on the program, I shared how the Lord woke me up at 3:30 a.m. in the morning on September 23rd, saying, "Get up. This will go much quicker than you think." And I am telling you, look at what's happening in the world around us in just these last few months, even personally. You know, some of the things have changed drastically in my life, and at a speed I wouldn't have thought possible back in September that things could work around like what's going on here. And but the Lord's positioning is more on that in just a minute. But He's not only warning of upcoming events, stir and wake up those who will, but He's lovingly providing instructions for us on how we're to prepare, you know, spiritually and even in the natural. And I feel there are several of you out there, I know myself, need to hear this again. Get up. This will go much quicker than you think. You might, you know, need to hear it concerning your own circumstances, as a source of encouragement and or what's happening on the world scene, you know, Bible prophecy, et cetera. But I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to each of us what this means on an individual basis as well as collectively. But tonight I feel led to start from there. You know, the Lord's call for us to get up. This is going to go much quicker than we all think. And think of labor pains, how they gradually come closer together. Everything begins to speed up, you know, and the intensity is going to build as we go, you know, and all you women out there who've had babies understand that. And I've divided what, I've divided what I feel led to share tonight into three parts or segments. And really because it's pretty much the order in which the Lord's presented these things to me since September, with the exception of one thing I'll share a little bit later. But it's the first part, I'm going to just say it's an urgent wake-up call to the saints. And I was given a word of warning about coming destruction and what we're being called to do, you know, and I'll cover that first. But the second part will be instructions given regarding what His remnant are and will be facing, you know, now, but especially in the days ahead, in what our stance must be concerning these things. And then the third part, let me pull this up here. I'll share the words and vision given to about an astounding victory, you know, that the saints are assured of as we heed the call of the Lord to awaken, to allow Him to finish the work He's already begun in us, and to stand in the victory of Jesus. And this is very encouraging. It's a powerful truth the Lord wants to remind his people of. Now, on and off, what I'm going to do is be reading excerpts from the website tonight. But normally, in the past, I've stopped to give post titles and such. But just know if you go to the website and check out the posts, you know, written after September of 2019, you'll get a lot more detail because I don't have time to read entirety. You know, and a lot of the scripture references, they're at the bottom of those posts. And that's the mightyhandofgod.com. I forgot to give it the last time, but it was brought to my attention. So let me just say it up front. It's the mightyhandofgod.com. Okay, so let me begin with an urgent wake-up call to the saints. And please bear with me for just a few minutes because towards the end, everything will be brought together and connected in a way that, it blew me away as I was preparing the outline, you know, for what the Lord is leading me to share with you. It blew me away as he connected everything together. But, I just mentioned how the Spirit woke me up in the wee hours of the morning, September 23rd, saying, get up, this will go much quicker than you think. And then a few weeks later, after going to sleep the night of, that was October 24th, the Lord spoke to me all through the night that night. And upon awakening the next morning, he repeated not only what he'd been telling me all through the night, but I was shown the following vision. From a bird's eye view, I saw a wide path, okay, similar to a highway. Well, it was a highway, but the lane appeared to be like a mile or so wide, and it was wider than any highway I'd ever seen. And it was filled with a throng of people covering every square inch of the path. And they were all walking rapidly in the same direction. It was as if they were power walking, you know. And as I watched, I heard the Lord say, veer off this road. Emergency. They are heading for destruction. And then suddenly I was down among the people walking with them as the Lord continued saying, veer off. And then I saw it. There was a path on the left side just ahead of me, and it appeared to be an exit ramp. And following the command of the Lord to veer off, I began to veer towards it. And so once I got to the exit, a sense of panic hit me because I could only see but a few yards ahead. And the little path narrowed down to a thin walkway about 10 feet out. And past that, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see how far out it went, the direction, if it was, you know, uphill, drop off. I could see nothing. And I felt this great resistance rise up within. And all my physical senses were screaming, no, go back. And it was at that moment I heard the Holy Spirit say, this is uncharted territory. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the way that leads to destruction. And that was the end of that. And after the vision ended, the Lord continued to minister, you know, the meaning of what he had shown. And he pointed out how I had hesitated when I could no longer see the path, you know. I even considered going back. And I was reminded how the Israelites did the same thing. Okay, they murmured and complained at the first sign of any hardship as they walked through their uncharted territory, you know, continually voicing their desire to return to Egypt and back to bondage. But they refused to enter the promised land because of unbelief. They didn't trust God to do what he said he was going to do. And we know the rest of that story. But as Paul said in Hebrews 4, And that is through verse 8 to 10. Even under the leadership of Joshua, they didn't enter into God's rest because they never ceased from their own works. Okay, saints, we have not either, you know, ceased from our own works today. The church as a whole is on the wide path, along with the rest of the world, heading for destruction. And, I mean, although we murmur and complain about how wretched this world is, we've gotten used to it. You know, it's what we know, what we can see, and we depend on it because we can measure it with our senses, you know, with that flesh, right? So the Lord's showing a crossroad, which is going to be presented to us just ahead. And he's instructing the body of Christ to veer onto the path leading to uncharted territory. And if we pause to look at physical circumstances, depending upon human reasoning, we'll draw back at that time, just as I did when I couldn't see where the path led in the vision. But to choose this path will require we walk by faith according to the ways of the Spirit, not the flesh, you know, with eyes fixed solely upon him. Saints, think about it. We're going to get a do-over, so to speak, you know, a second shot at this. The Israelites were called the church in the wilderness. They did it by the flesh and failed to enter his rest. Paul said there remains a rest for the people of God, those who cease from their own works. Ah, but God, you know, he's called and is preparing a people to do what the church in the wilderness failed to do, to enter his rest, to fully trust him for our provision. And we'll touch on that in a few minutes. But let me move over here. And I want to insert something here before proceeding to what I call part two. It was a little over a week after being told, veer off this road, they're heading for destruction, and being shown that narrow exit road leading to uncharted territory, as God called it, that God showed what he's requiring of us, and that it's a decision we have to make. And one evening, it was the first week in November, I had a very restless night, and there was an intense struggle or wrestling going on as I slept. And I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, "This is the trial of your soul." And the wrestling was my flesh warring against my spirit. And it was as if arguments in a court case were being presented before God. And the amazing thing is that the verdict, you know, the sentence in the court case had already been given. And the following verses were among several that I heard throughout that night. Let me see here. I've got two. Let me just quote two of them. So you'll see what the verdict already is. And this first one, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then in Romans 8:13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And with the verdict and the sentence in place in this dream, the case was then handed over to me. It was actually handed to me like a package. And I understood it was up to me to decide how sentencing was to be carried out. Would I choose to live and walk according to my flesh and die, or by the Spirit and live? And as I said, this scenario played out over and over throughout the night. And then upon awakening, God made it clear the body of Christ is being called upon to enter the rest of God now. The Lord's telling us in advance the path leading to his rest is uncharted territory. Okay, he's calling upon his people to walk by faith now, no longer by our physical senses, no longer by that physical sight and senses. And what we're facing is the trial of our soul. Wow, will will we choose to live and walk according to our flesh and die, or by the Spirit and live in the days ahead? As the fabric of this world begins to crumble, John describes it all, summed it all up, and we see it happening right now. We face a time of decision, and we must decide if we believe God. Saints, think about it. It won't make sense to your flesh. If God calls you, say, to veer into an unknown path that maybe leads to you, or lead you away from friends, you know, your family, the church, you know, away from food, clothing, you know, the provision this world will offer us if we stay on the path with them. You know, and I think we all know more and more compromise is going to be required of Christians who remain on the wide path. So God wants us to prepare our hearts now. So let me just briefly recap before I go on here. By mid-November, I'd been shown God was urgently trying to get our attention. You know, he was telling us things were now going to go much quicker than we think. And look what's happening, you know, all around us. You know, that we need, he's telling us that we need to veer off this road heading for destruction and veer onto that small, narrow path now where we won't be able to see, you know, very far ahead, just a few steps ahead of us, the path of uncharted territory. Saints, God says to expect the trial of our soul to take place at that juncture. You know, some of us are at a place, you know, that feels like that right now. We face crossroads of decision all the time in our walk with God, and the pressure, though, is building. We all sense it, you know, as I'm speaking right now, the pressure is building. But the Lord is preparing us for a major one up ahead, a major crossroads, a major juncture, as I was talking about a minute ago. But as we step off onto that path, our flesh is going to want to pull back, and the case will be handed over to each one of us at that point to decide, will you choose to live and walk according to your flesh and die, or by the Spirit and live? And so, like I said a moment ago, by mid-November, these are the things God had shown and already been dealing with me about. And, you know, let me tell you, by then my head was reeling. I mean, I was spinning, and the urgency was hitting me back then. And I was attempting to process it all. What he was showing is like, what? You know, I wasn't prepared. God was showing me it's going to get really bad out there, you know? And I mean, I knew this with my head knowledge, you know, back then, as you know, but now it was being imparted and acknowledged deep within my fiber, you know, the very fiber of my being. It was God was saying, here you are, here it is. But what he showed next, brought me to my knees literally. And now I'd like to share what I earlier referred to as the second part, you know, which is what his remnant are and will be encountering, kind of like a heads up on what to expect. Let me take a drink here. What I'm now going to do, I'm going to read sections of I Am Your Portion so that, you know, I can relay it as it was received. I won't be able to read all of it, but I'm going to read some portions. And let me preface this by saying that this word's not only a warning of what's to come, but also a word from God to encourage and remind us of what we're to cling to, you know, as events unfold. But immediately after awakening, the morning of December 26th, I began to feel a deep sorrow in my spirit that I didn't understand. And I was sensing something huge on the horizon. I was sensing something imminent, and I knew I needed to seek the Lord about it. And after spending some time in prayer, the Holy Spirit showed the judgment of God was at the door. And I think we all realize that. But the specific judgment God was referring to isn't the judgment coming upon the nations, you know, but the judgment coming upon the very house of God. And as it says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And the fear of the Lord seized me as he began to make plain that this judgment he was showing me was to begin with God's inner circle, you know, those closest to him. It begins with you and me. And I only include the, you know, myself here as an example, because I don't count myself as one who's already apprehended. And I'm sure you don't either. It's not just the ones many of the so-called remnants are pointing fingers at that'll be included, you know, in this judgment, but those who wear the priestly garments. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of two specific words where I was shown a dividing line the Lord will draw to separate the clean from the unclean in the church. And you can find those links at the bottom of I Am Your Portion, that post on the website. But you can look at those links if you care to. But I was led to go back and study the tabernacle again and the layout of the temple in Israel. And as I studied, God drew specific attention to the role of the priests and how only one tribe out of the 12 was allowed to approach and minister to God. And out of that one tribe of Levi, only the family line of Zadok was allowed to serve as high priest to enter the Holy of Holies, you know, the inner chamber. And I sat there, I was wondering why I was being shown these things, like how it related to judgment beginning with the house of God. And then the Lord began to bring all the pieces together. And everything, saints, was pointing to the holiness of God and how not just anyone can, you know, come near him. With the Israelites, only the Levites were chosen. And out of them, just a small fraction allowed in the inner chamber. Okay? It shows how holy our God is. And as Scripture says, although many are called, few are chosen. And, wow, the fear of God came upon me again, and I dropped to my knees, crying out, Lord God, no one can stand before you. Father, without Jesus, we're all dead men. Please, Lord God, forgive and cover us with his precious blood. And then he said very clearly to me, I am separating you unto myself. You will not partake of the land or the provisions of this world. I am your portion. Be holy as I am holy. And then I was shown the following. Jesus is our high priest, and we're made kings and priests under him, you know, according to Revelation 1:6. And just as the Levitical priest serving in the physical temple had to meet certain cleansing and those purification requirements, so do the priests serving under Jesus in the spiritual temple. And what God showed next opened my understanding to the words he had just spoken. So let me read three scriptures that were pointed out to me. And the first one is Deuteronomy 18, verse 1 to 2. The priests, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance. And then in Ezekiel 44, verse 28 and 29 says, it shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. I'm going to say that again. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And then in Numbers 18:20, then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. This is God speaking directly to the priests. Okay, saints, if Jesus has made us kings and priests unto our God, he's speaking this to us. The priests were to have no inheritance among the people, not in land, not in possessions, even down to the food they ate. You know, but notice, God said he was their portion and possession, and everything dedicated to God would be theirs. Their portion was to be the best, you know, the first fruits of the land. What God's showing is that most of his priests today have partaken of the provisions of this world. Okay, we've taken ease and comfort. We've taken the land, houses, jobs, you know, spouses, treasures, you know, idols of every kind without even consulting God, making the God of this world our portion. And I'm holding my hand up here. I'm guilty. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. It was a couple of years ago now, and I was in the car with a friend. We were just going to the gym at the time, and all of a sudden God said, I want to be included in every aspect of your life. And he showed me like a panoramic view of my life where I was still following human reasoning, which says you do what you can do and God will do the things you can't, you know. That's the way I always thought, you know, for 40 years, first 40 years. That's the way many Christians think. Well, God, you know, he gave us a brain to do, you know, whatever, you know, fill in the blank. But God wants us to include him in every aspect of our life. He wants to be included when we choose a mate, you know, our friends, a career, when we make our to-do list every day. Consult him about it, everything. You know, as priests of God, our portion isn't to come from this world, but we're to receive only that which has been dedicated to God. Where God was involved from the beginning as we presented all these things before him first in prayer. God then brought to mind, and he wants us to remember the two sons of Aaron and how God dealt with them when they offered what was called strange fire in Leviticus 10, you know, verse 1 to 2. They offered strange fire before the Lord. And the meaning of strange in Hebrew is unauthorized, foreign, or profane. So they used or did something that was profane and unauthorized by God. What they did was so offensive to God that they were killed on the spot. And back in 2017, when God was revealing the dividing line he was going to erect within the church, he said, everything not fall. The idols will be swept away. Saints, we've mixed the holy things of God in our life with things profane, you know, things unauthorized by him, things that will not stand before him. And before proceeding, let me condense down real quickly the key points of what God's showing so far. The Lord's telling us there's not much time left. Everything's going to go much quicker than we think. And he's telling us to veer off the path of the destruction the world and the church is on, onto the path of uncharted territory. And to walk this path will be by faith only, not depending on this world for provision. You know, God's telling us, I am separating you unto myself. You will not partake of the land or the provisions of this world. I am your portion. And I feel led to touch on the part where he says, I am separating you unto myself, and I am your portion in practical terms, you know, and understand I'm only going to be able to scratch the surface here, but as we know, before the tabernacle and temples were finished and ready in Israel's time, they had to be thoroughly cleansed, purified, and dedicated to God, okay? And it was only then the temple would be acceptable by God for use. And in 2 Chronicles 7:1, after they'd done all that, it says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And we also know in several places in Scripture, the church is referred to, you know, as God's temple. And I know I'm talking to the choir here, but stay with me because the Lord's laying something out here. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple? The Lord's shown that which is coming to be a final fire to consume and burn up everything unauthorized, profane, everything not of him, you know, to separate and make manifest the remnant of God out of it. The very bride of Christ will be brought forth out of it. More on that in just a minute, but many of us have already been going through fires of purification for a while. You know, I know myself for several years at intense. It's been very intense. And many of us have and are still asking to be shown and stripped bare of anything not of him. Lord God, show me. Lord God, take everything out of my life that is not of you. That's how it all started when I started praying that prayer. And that's the stance we need to take. You know, I keep getting asked, what do we do? What do we do? You know, just as stated, you know, in many places, but in Joel 2, it's time to get on our knees. You know, when we see that these judgments, things are coming, it's time to get on our knees. It's time we enter into prayer and fasting. You know, it's time for repentance and interceding before God. It's time to rend our hearts, lay them bare before him. You know, we must continue to ask God to examine and search us daily to see if there be any wicked thing remaining in our lives. So the body of Christ will be stripped of everything not of God. Many thought to be mighty men and women of God are not going to make it. Judgment will hit every house, beginning with those who claim to be his. Those who seem the purest among us will be they will be judged first and most harshly. Because to whom much is given, much will be required. And saints, no matter what comes, remember we're being separated unto him. Although, you know, it may be uncomfortable. Matter of fact, just count on it, you know, to our flesh. It's going to be very uncomfortable. And I told several people lately, we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. During this process, many have already and will continue, you know, to experience the loss of things. You know, those things held precious to us. Maybe a spouse, maybe children, or home, friends, you know, career, health, you name it. And let me say, It's not just the profane unauthorized by God, you know, those unauthorized things by God. It's not just that which stripped going to be stripped away, but that which was of God and great blessings from him. Because as mentioned before, God is positioning his people. So we must trust him in all these things, no matter what comes upon us in these days ahead. The Lord wants us to take heed, you know, to be very cautious, because when one goes through any types of pain or loss, the enemy's watching and will attempt to lure us back, you know, lure us back to comfort our flesh. Anything to distract you, you know, from the purposes of God in your life. The devil, he'll send you someone to fill that lonely void. He'll come with all kinds of enticements. Just know this, okay? Be on guard. The devil's even now whipping up mankind, but he's really focusing, you know, on the church, to tell you the truth, whipping them up into a frenzy, running around like ants trying to save themselves. You know, he's releasing all the news, you know, the things that they're finally reporting to instill fear and panic all over the globe. And saints, God's people aren't to be affected like that, okay? Our first response to news like what we're hearing all over the airwaves should be to seek God about what he would have us do. Don't be running around asking, you know, this and that. And you know, God says all through his word, fear not. He instructs us to call upon him in the day of trouble. He will deliver us. Now, you know, it's okay to seek wise counsel as God leads, but your source and portion is God. We're entering a time like never before, where each one of us need to hear for God himself. You, saint, are going to have times where you'll need step-by-step instructions straight from the Holy Spirit. I've had that happen to me already. You know, it started a few years ago, but I've had that specific thing happen to me. I guess it was maybe 3 times. Huge, huge. I had to listen. I didn't know the directions. I was in danger. I was in danger. But anyway, I won't go into that. But we're going to have times where we'll need step-by-step instructions, like I said, straight from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it'll be needed by the minute or even by the second. And I was shown this back in 2017 when God showed me a vision where I was walking down the center aisle. It was an exit aisle of what was either a bus or a plane, and you know, I couldn't tell. I didn't mention it, you know, what it was, but the more I think about it, it seemed like a bus. But all I knew was I was supposed to go to the exit and step out of it. I was supposed to step off onto the ground. That's all I knew in this vision. I had my eyes fixed straight ahead on a bright light, which I knew was God. And I was listening intently for the voice of the Holy Spirit to tell me which way to go after I stepped off that last step. I didn't know whether I was supposed to go right or left, but knew God would show me, you know, before or as my foot hit the ground. This is what's ahead of us. And as we press into God, seeking intimacy, you know, dwelling with him in that secret place, we'll fear not. You know, the more you get to know God, the, you know, you learn you can depend on him. And know, you'll know by experience, he's our portion. And what he has in store for us is his very best. And the word of God says in 1 Timothy 5:8, this proves what I'm saying right here. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Of course God's going to provide for his own. Our God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So Let's hold on to this as we walk through the uncharted territory ahead. God is our portion. And now, for lack of time, I need to move on to the third part, but it's divided into two pieces because what I'm going to share next was actually received before I Am Your Portion was given. But I felt I needed to wait until now to present it. But really, to be truthful, it didn't fully impact me when I received it initially until it was just a few days ago as I sat down to begin an outline of what God, you know, what he wanted me to share tonight. It all started hitting, and I'm shocked even right now. But let me read portions straight from the post here for a second. It was 2:45 a.m. on November 29th, 2019. I was sound asleep when awakened by the following. The bridegroom shall suddenly come to his temple. There will be no more delays. And I was struck. Like I said, it woke me up hearing this, it blazing out to me. I was struck by the power, you know, the loudness in which it was spoken, as well as what was said. So I began to pray for wisdom and understanding. Like it was so urgent to me. And 2 days passed because I didn't want to think that. I was just thinking all kinds of things, you know, but 2 days passed before the Lord spoke further, adding to what he had already spoken. And he said, the bridegroom shall suddenly come to his temple. There will be no more delays. My temple is made without hands. I'm going to fill my temple with my glory. Saints, please hear this. If you don't remember anything else, remember, hear this and remember. The Lord's announcing the bridegroom is coming to his temple, his bride, to fill her with his glory. Just as cleansing and purifying of the earthly temple took place before God's glory came to fill it, so with his spiritual temple. Once the temple is complete, you know, cleansed, purified, and dedicated to God, it's filled with his glory. He's coming to inhabit his temple. And it also says, he's coming, the bridegroom shall come suddenly. The bridegroom shall suddenly come to his temple. There will be no more delays. First, that tells me in his mercy and grace, he's given her extra time, allowing even more to come forward in preparation and cleansing. But that time is now coming to an end. God says the bridegroom shall suddenly come to his temple. Suddenly means quickly and unexpectedly. The glory is about to fill the temple. Saints, judgment must begin with the house of God. The remnant has to be ready first to be able to be used in the harvest. The bridegroom will suddenly come to his temple to indwell it. Now, I mentioned when I originally received this, I didn't fully grasp it. But this is the cry going out that the bridegroom is coming. The Lord's instructing me to cry aloud to the virgins. The bridegroom comes. There will be no more delays. Get up. It's going to go much quicker than you think. It's time to prepare your lamps. My people, make sure you have sufficient oil for what's ahead. I mean, I can scarcely take in what's being shown. And it's all happening so quickly. And let me end tonight with a strong word of encouragement to God's people. You know, what's been covered is very sobering as well as exciting, you know. And as previously mentioned, when the full impact fully hit me of what God was showing to be at the door, the fear of God came on me. I mean, I dropped to my knees. I mean, I knew I had led a life dependent on all this world has to offer, making it my portion. I felt a sense of hopelessness when I thought about everything, not of God, falling to the ground around us. When the fire separates the holy from the profane, how much will be burned up? Or most importantly, how much will remain of me or you? So I want to share a couple parts of the most recent posting on the website. And this is, I think it's the last post I put up. Without God, this will be impossible. One morning, a few days before posting I Am Your Portion, you know, when I was so discouraged, I was having trouble writing it out, the Lord said, sorry, hold on just a minute, let me get a drink. The Lord said, I am your banner. All I knew was to look up the names of God. I knew it had been a while since, you know, I'd studied the names of God, and I looked them up. I remembered something about banner. There it was, Jehovah Nisi, which means the Lord is our victory banner. God gives us the victory against the flesh, you know, the world and the devil. Our battles are his battles. We are to wear this banner, his victory banner. And I'm telling you, I stood up when he said that, and I looked that up right there within about 5 to 10 minutes. I had looked it up, and I stood up and began declaring, the Lord is my victory banner. And shortly thereafter, I want to say it was a day or two later, I received a message from a very prophetic friend telling me what she had recently seen and heard from the Holy Spirit. And it was a huge confirmation of what the Lord had just shown me. She said on January 2nd, she heard the following. Now I'm going to read what she heard and what she saw. She heard, my holy, holy bride coming forth. And then I then saw a vision of the bride lift her arms, holding up a white banner with the word blood written in red, and blood was streaming across it. And many wolves surrounded her. They were in a circle, okay? And when she looked at them, great light beamed out of her eyes like laser beams that blasted them away. Okay, that's the end of what she wrote me. And now let me continue. God told me last July, he said, the enemy has surrounded the camps of my people, but fear not. They that are with you are more than be with them. Nothing can stop you until my purposes are fulfilled. So, saints, it's time to raise the victory banner. His victory banner, the blood of the Lamb is written and flows across it. Raise it up high. Let it completely cover you. Cover your family, your dwelling, everything. Heaven will come to fight for us. Nothing can prevail against it. Darkness has to flee. And once the bride raises that banner, the wolves will flee. Nothing will be able to stop her until his purposes are fulfilled. And as Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And for those of you who haven't read it, right before I came on the air tonight, I was reminded that the dream God gave me back in 2015 called A Glimpse of Glory. It not only demonstrates how God is our portion, but shows the bride walking in the fullness of Jesus after he comes and fills her with his glory. She's going to do great exploits, as Daniel said, and be used by God to bring in the greatest harvest of souls in history. So, you know, I encourage you to read it if you feel led to do so. But, John, I feel this is a good stopping point. And saints, please go before the Lord in prayer and ask more revelation and understanding be given concerning these things. And as we've been instructed throughout the Word, we need to pray without ceasing and pray, you know, pray, stay in the spirit of repentance. Be quick to repent. And brethren, we need to be interceding not only for our family and friends, but our brothers and sisters around the world. You know, horrible, horrible atrocities are being committed against the saints worldwide. So let's hold each other up before the throne. John, I'll give the mic back to you now.
All right, amen. Did you want to go ahead and close with a prayer?
Sure, sure. Father, our great almighty God, pierce our hearts, Lord, with this message tonight. May your Holy Spirit minister to each one of us as it applies personally. Lord God, as your judgments are released around this earth, may there be great repentance and turning to you. May you be glorified in all these things. And we praise and thank you, Lord, that your word assures us that your judgments are holy, they are righteous, and that you're a merciful and just God. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Thank you, John.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And again, your website location for everybody?
Yes, that's themightyhandofgod.com.
Praise God. Themightyhandofgod.com. Praise God. Thank you so much, Sister Diana, for joining us tonight. What a powerful message, and it always is. Very convicting, but also full of hope and opportunity, you know, especially now.
Yeah.
And what an awesome opportunity it truly is. Praise Jesus, because you know what? The power that the bride, it's amazing. It's amazing. Even on the prayer vigil last night, the Lord was showing me scriptures about the power. I mean, it was stuff that I had read before many times, and I didn't even see it. Like, I think it was, hold on.
Right.
Let me see it. Go to me. Watch this. Hold on a second. Oh, yeah. Check it out.
Okay.
So the Lord showed this to me last night on the prayer vigil, Ephesians 3:20. I've read this a bunch of times, but it never hit me like it did last night. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so the key to understanding that scripture is that the words, according to the power that works in us. So Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but only according to the power that works through us. That's the key.
Yes.
We are the conduits of the power of Christ Jesus on this earth, and that is going to be made manifest in the days that are ahead of us right now. Praise God. So your message is very timely.
Woo.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Praise God.
All right. God bless you all. Thank you all for joining us. Please keep me in your prayers. Don't know what's going to happen with the timing next week, but it looks good so far. So keep praying and keep your heads down and be ready, because it's looking a little shaky out there. Glory be to Jesus. Stay ready, get closer, draw closer, and we'll see you this Wednesday night. Lord willing, keep praying. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we come to you with repentance. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice. As we lift your name on high, renew our mind, renew our soul. Remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on the living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are right. Like those five wise virgins, we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently. Longing for that blessed sound, the dead will rise, the church is gathered. We're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? We will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.